Serve a faithful God. I've fallen short. I've been less than faithful at times. I've forsaken Him. But He's never forsaken me. He's been faithful. Through the ups, through the downs, the ins, the outs, the good times, the bad times, He's been faithful. Can we just lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faith. Great is thy faithfulness, God. Great is thy faithfulness, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Even though in my heart I've questioned, even failed to believe, he's been faithful to me.
Bless you for standing. You may be seated. We have changed the format of the service just a little bit this morning. Normally we have a Sunday school lesson from now till about a quarter till, and then we have everybody come back at 11 o'clock and we do more evangelistic service. And how we're going to change that a little bit this morning, instead of teaching for the first part, I'm just going to rear back and preach, if that's all right. And then during the second portion, we are going to take time. We'll have a normal praise and worship, but then we're going to give over to celebration of our mothers. We have a presentation from the Children's Ministry Department, and then I have asked my wife to make a few comments, much to her chagrin. but I know you're looking for. I know she's going to do a wonderful job. And when I first asked her, I wasn't expecting her to go all out, but you know her, and she doesn't do anything halfway. And so she may just rear back and preach and make an altar call and all that good stuff. I don't know. But she's going to make some comments concerning mothers, and then we have some gift to present to all the mothers in the house. So just looking forward to a wonderful day together, celebrating moms and celebrating the Lord. I do want to remind you, there is no PM activity here at the church, no Revival by Design. We forego anything this evening. We want you to spend time with your family on this special day. Why don't you stand? You have your Bibles and you would be so kind, I would ask you to turn to 2 Kings chapter number 4. If you'll indulge me and follow along, I'm going to skip some verses in the story, but hopefully give you the gist, the story that I would like to preach upon this morning. And hopefully, this will probably be one of the most unusual Mother's Day messages you've ever heard, maybe. But I hope that you will allow the Lord to minister to you through the Word. 2 Kings chapter number 4. Begin reading in verse number 8. When you're there, can you say amen? It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. Everybody say the place. She makes the place. Then I want you to skip down to verse number 15 of that same chapter. And he said, he being Elisha, said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. Everybody say, she stood in the place. And he, Elisha, said, about the season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Pay particular attention to verse 16. And he, Elisha, at this point would be the promisor. He's about to make a promise. Said, and here's the promise, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. She said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. In other words, don't deceive me. Don't tell me something that's not true. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Everybody say, the promise came to pass. Skip down to verse number 18. Here the story takes a turn. When the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father's, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. He said to the lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon and then died. They say the promise died. She went up. This is what she does. She went up and she laid him on the bed of the man of God. Everybody say, she laid the promise in the place. And she shut the door upon him and went out. Skip down to verse number 32. When Elisha, the prophet, we would know him as the promisor. He's the one that made the promise that she would have a son. When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead. Elisha, the promisor, comes to the place. And the promise is dead. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon him twain, and prayed unto the Lord. He went up and laid upon his child, on the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up, stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was coming to him, he said, take up thy son. She went in and fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son and went out. Help the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. The place, the promisor, and the promise. The place, the promisor, and the promise. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that we celebrate this wonderful occasion of our mothers. God, those who made the choice to give us all life. God, we thank you, God, that we can take this special time, Lord, and commemorate and celebrate, God, the mothers in our lives. God, we ask you, Lord, that you would touch our hearts and our minds to receive your word. God, that we would see here in the story of this mother, God, a great principle to be applied in our own lives. God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, God. We give you glory and praise for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The place, the promisor, and the promise. On this Mother's Day, I would like us to revisit the story of a mother who, though nameless in Scripture, had the wisdom to recognize something we would do well to see ourselves. This mother does something extraordinary that facilitates her dead son being raised to life again. And I think we will see some parallels in this story that apply to us today. First, the story begins with this Shunammite woman desiring to make a place for the prophet. She takes it upon herself to make sure this prophet we know as Elisha has room to stay in whenever he would pass by. She sets up the place. She makes it a priority in her life. She goes to her husband and she asks, can we set up this chamber on the wall? Can we make a place for this prophet so that every time he comes by, every time he travels this way, that he can turn in thither, that he has a bed to rest and he has a table and a lampstand? And can we make sure that we make a place for this prophet? She took it upon herself. We don't understand. We don't even know why. But even before she makes the place, the Bible says that she feeds him. She gives him bread whenever he comes by. She constrains him, the Bible says, to come in and to eat bread. And she takes it upon herself to make sure that the prophet is fed. She perceives that Elisha is a holy man. We don't know how she comes to this conclusion. We don't know what it was. We don't know if it was the conversations that ensued over the bread. We don't know if it was his interaction with her. We don't know if she heard of him and his exploits. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly why this woman perceives that this man is a holy man. She tells her husband, I perceive that this is an holy man. And we more than just giving him bread and more than just inviting him in when he passes by, we need to make a place. We need to make a room and we need to put a bed and furniture. We need to furnish it. We need to make sure that he's comfortable, that whenever he travels this way, he has a place. Let us construct a chamber for this holy man that he can resort thither here. Anytime he passes this way, she is hospitable and she's charitable, and we find that she is asking nothing in return. She doesn't beseech him. She doesn't inquire. She doesn't do anything that would show that she was expecting anything in return for her hospitality and her charity. She, just out of the goodness of her heart, without expectation of receiving anything in return, she simply wants to provide the place. She wants to provide the place for this prophet, this man of God, to come. There's something that we need to understand. There is a wisdom, though she's not a mother yet at this point. There's wisdom here in the understanding that she provided the place. And might I make this parallel to you and to I? Yes, there's a church, and yes, there's opportunity. But you and I must, in ourselves and in our heart and in our own life, we have to make the place. God will not force himself into our lives. God will not force us to construct a place for him. God will not make us make him a priority. God will not in any way, shape, or form force himself into your life or into my life. We have to make the place. We have to come to the conclusion, we have to come to the understanding that it's needful, that it's necessary. Somewhere along the line, she wanted the influence of this man in her life. She wanted to do something for him. She wasn't really expecting anything in return. No blessing. She wasn't expecting him to make any grandiose offer. She just wanted to make a place. See, when it comes to our understanding of God, I know often we come to Him with expectation, and we should. There's sometimes we need to recognize that He's worthy of a place in our heart and in our life, whether He does anything for us or not. He's God. He's worthy of a place. He's worthy that we make opportunity for Him to influence and impact our lives. We provide the place. We provide the opportunity. That's why it is often in a church, but I've heard it, people in their car driving down the road. I've even heard of people in the shower as they begin to make a place, as they begin to pray, and they entertain the presence of the Lord. The place that we can construct, the place that we make as an opportunity for God to come and impact our lives. So the Bible says that for a period of time, we don't know how long or how many times that Elisha had come. Elisha had used the room and had taken the opportunity to lodge there. But before long, I believe the Bible says that Elisha says, "Is there something I can do for you? Some way that I can bless her? Maybe I can present her before the king or the captain of the host." And she said, "No, I'm okay where I'm at. I don't need any elevation in life. I'm content in the place that I am." So Gehazi interrupts, if you will, and says, "But Elisha, she doesn't have a son. Her husband is old." Just imagine that at that moment, this woman, who in that day and age to be barren and to not have a son was a curse. And though the Bible tells us that she is a great woman, which if you read that, she was obviously very wealthy and successful in her day and age, what she did not have was a son. You can only imagine as Gehazi mentions the fact that she doesn't have a son, that in her heart and in her mind, oh really? Elisha looks and says, "About the season, according to the time, you're going to bear a son." I just wonder what it was like. I don't know. I've never experienced that. But I wonder what it was like for this woman. Her response gives us some indication. She, and in some sense, "Oh, don't kid with me. Don't joke about this. Don't deceive me, man of God. I've made this place for you. I've asked for nothing in return. Don't deceive me. You're saying I'm going to have a son? You're becoming a promissor. You're telling me, you're giving me a promise of having a child? I'm a great woman, but I don't have a son. And you're saying I'm going to have son? Oh, please don't be kidding. Oh, please, this is not something to joke about. And the Bible says that it happened. The promissor Elisha made her the promise. According to the time, you're going to have a son. I can only imagine the emotion and as she began to feel the fetus inside of her grow, if she began to understand that, yes, she was in fact expecting, yes, this promise was being fulfilled, it was coming to pass. I just can imagine the joy and the excitement in her heart that, yes, the promise that the promissor had made is happening. I'm having a child. I'm going to bear a son. And the Bible says, we don't know. We don't know how old the child was. The Bible just says that the child grew. We don't know how long. We don't know how many years. The Bible still references him as a child, so we might guess at best he's still an adolescent. But she's had some years now with her promise. But the promise, or the great prophet Elisha had said, had come to pass, and she had the child. Now, for years, she's been able to experience this promise. Then the story takes a turn. Then now a mother, she hears as someone from the field is bringing in her son, who probably at that point was unresponsive. The Bible says that they take the promise and they lay it upon her knee, and she there watching her promise. Oh, now what a swing of emotion. prophet told me I was going to have this promise, but now it's as if the promise is dying. The promise is going away. He promised me this child, and now I'm watching his life is fading in the eyes of my promise. And the Bible says, about noon, the child died. Here's what stood out to me. Here's why I choose to preach upon this subject on Mother's Day, because this mother does something extraordinary. In my mind, in a logical sense, the child has died. The promise has died. Take the promise to the promiser. Take the promise. Load that child up in the wagon and take that child to Elisha. The child has died, the Bible says. He's gone. And so common sense, I would think, as a mother, you're not going to leave that child. You're going to take that child and you're going to wrap it up and you're going to put it in the wagon and say, hey, bring me the fastest horse. And hey, let's go and find the promisor. Let's find the prophet that made me this promise. No, that's not what she does. The Bible says that she takes the promise to the place. She takes this child to the place where the promise was made. Because the Bible specifically says that when Elisha calls her, she's standing in the door. She's standing in the place. And when Elisha says, according to the season, and about this time you're going to bear a son, she is standing in the place as the promisor is making a promise. And so when this promise dies, and when the child is no longer living, she doesn't take the promise and load it up on the wagon and run it off to the promisor. What she does is she takes the promise back to the place. She takes the child and she takes him up into the chamber and she lays the child out on the bed and then she goes to her husband and says, hey, I'm paraphrasing, but give me the fastest horse and give me a cart. And he somewhat discourages her. Well, it's not the new moon. It's not the Sabbath. Don't disturb the promisor. And she says, it's going to be okay. I love the faith of this mother. She says, it is well. It's all right. I got things under control. You may not understand what I'm doing, but I just took the promise and I put him in the place. And now I got to go get the promisor. I've got to align the three things. It's not going to work for me to take the promise to the promisor. I've got to take the promise to the place. And now I got to go get the promisor. Give me the cart. Give me the horse. I don't care if it's not a new moon. I don't care if it's not appropriate in everybody else's eyes. I'm a mama, and that's my boy up there, and he's no longer living. And a prophet made me a promise, and I'm going to get the prophet. So she comes, and she comes to the prophet, and Elisha perceives that she's on her way. He looks at his servant Gehazi and says, hey, go meet the Shunammite woman. She's coming to see me. Something has happened. The Lord has hid it from me. I don't know what's gone on, but something, she comes. I see that she comes for me. And so Gehazi meets the woman, and they find out. And she looks at the prophet, and I'm paraphrasing, but she says, you, the promisor, made me a promise. Did I not tell you, don't fool with me? Don't deceive me. Don't give me a promise and then allow it to be taken away. And Elisha looks at his servant Gehazi and says, here, take my staff. Don't salute anybody on the way. Don't, if they ask of you, don't answer them back. You just go and you lay the staff upon the child. But you find out. And here's another thing that just blows my mind. I would think, as a mother, the promisor is saying that his servant is going to take this rod and this staff, and he's going back to where the promise is in the place. I would think that the mother would attach herself to Gehazi. I would think that she says, okay, thanks, promisor. Come on, Gehazi, let's go. But you look at the verses and you see
what the woman does. You see the wisdom of this mother. I'm paraphrasing, but what she does is she looks at the promisor and says, I don't care what he does. I ain't going anywhere unless you go. She looks at Elisha and says, I will not leave thee. I don't care that you're sending Gehazi back with his staff to place upon my boy. You're the promisor. You're the one that made me the promise, and I'm not leaving you. I ain't going anywhere until you come all the way back with me. Because you, the promisor, made me a promise in a place. And now that promise resides at that place. And I got to get you, the promisor, back to the place. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. And so Gehazi goes and he lays the staff upon the child. And guess what? Nada. Nothing happens. Gehazi comes running back and meets him in the way. He says, nothing happened. Promise is still dead. Look, at the woman is still saying, it is well. It's all right. It's all right. I got some wisdom up here. There's something about to be aligned. Come on, promisor. Come on, prophet. It's all right. Keep coming. I've laid the promise in the place, and though the promise is dead, if I can get these three aligned again, if I can get the promisor in the place with the promise, I think something's going to happen. And so the Bible says that Elisha comes all the way back to the house, and he goes up into the chamber where the child is. The Bible says he shuts the door on them twain. In other words, it's just he. Catch it. Now, it's just promise, a promisor, place. The woman doesn't even go in. Read it. It's there in the Bible. The Bible says Elisha shuts the door upon them twain. In other words, it's just he. It's just those three. Promise, promisor, and the place. Now Elisha does something rather strange. He lays himself upon the child. Eyes upon eyes, mouth upon mouth. Catch. Now there's alignment. In the place is the promisor and the promise. They're in alignment. Hold on, I'm getting somewhere. I'm almost too excited to prolong it. Here they are. The place, promisor, promise. The Bible says the child, flesh begins to transform. Elisha gets up and walks back down the house to and fro, but then he goes back up into the chamber. The Bible says he went up one more time and there lays upon himself upon the child, and the child sneezes seven times. I don't know what that means. If you want great revelation, you got to look somewhere else. I don't know it yet. I'd love to. The Bible specifically says the child sneezes seven times. Seven times. His eyes open. Now, Elisha calls Gehazi. Hey, call the Shunammite. It's amazing. Throughout this whole story, we never know this woman's name. The Bible never says her name. It simply refers to her as the Shunammite. And now Elisha looks at Gehazi and says, hey, go get mama. Promise lives. Go get mama. The promise lives. So the end of the story is that the Shunammite woman comes in, the Bible says, and now her promise once again lives. So, well, Pastor Wells, how in the world are you going to bring this around? What does all this have to do? You see, I believe every story in the Bible has a purpose.
As I begin to see this, and I begin to see these three things in the alignment of the promise, and the place with the promisor, I begin to look, and it didn't take me long. I begin to understand. Look at Luke 24, verses 45 through 49. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. There's a place.
Wait a second. Then there, here we have another alignment. Here's a place. Beginning at Jerusalem. There's a promise that's going to happen at a place. Jesus is the promisor. He's the one that's saying, if you go to this place, there's going to be a promise. Read it. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. I'm the promisor. I'm going to send the promise at the place. Go ye and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. Here it is. Here's the correlation. Here's where I began to understand Galatians 4:26. This is the Apostle Paul writing the church at Galatia. He says this, Galatians 4:26, but Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. And I begin to see it. Here we got a perfect alignment. It is alignment with the story of the Shunammite woman. There's the place. And now here comes a promise from the promisor. Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Don't leave the place. Why? Because the promisor has made a promise. You think about it in the grand scope of eternity. You think about it in the understanding of humanity in the Garden of Eden. A promise died. In the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we were cut off. Adam was a child of God. Death reigned from Adam until Moses, the Bible said. And then righteousness came by the law. Promise of reconciliation with the Father. The promise still had not been brought back to life. It was still dead. But something happened at the place. There was a promise from the promisor that took place at Jerusalem. Read it. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Catch this. We know it, Acts 2:38. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise. Life for the promise is unto you. Acts 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Here's what I do know. I don't know why the child sneezed 7 times, but I do know this. Scientifically, they say that when an individual sneezes, it can be like a gust of wind up to 70 miles an hour. Ooh, you're stretching now, Pastor.
I might be. But this I'm not stretching. At the place comes the promise from the promisor. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they all began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And Peter answering their objection and answering their question as to what is taking place. These are not drunk as ye suppose, but this is as the prophet said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He goes on to preach Jesus, and he says, and being by the right hand exalted, has shed forth this, and having received of the Father the promise, has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So the story of the Shunammite woman, the place, the promisor, and the promise, we find dovetails with the birth of the church. The promise of God being fulfilled. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. What can we learn from this story of this Shunammite mother? What transpired in the book of Acts? There is a foundational truth you cannot get around. We need to understand we provide the place. We provide the place. To me, some of the most disturbing, one of the most disturbing passages in all of the Bible, found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17, in regard to Esau. The Bible says, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. Esau never quite construct the place. The promise. He could have inherited the blessing. Never constructed the place. It's what you and I need to understand, what you and I need to know. He will fill you, thrill you. The promiser will give you the promise. But you must provide the place. He will not force. He is forever the gentleman. He will stand at the door and knock. But you must provide the place.
Yes.
But this mother knew, as I somehow have provided the place. I wasn't asking anything. I wasn't expecting anything. I constructed the chamber. I provided the place where the promisor made the promise. She brought that promise back to the place. That promisor, you got to come back here. They got to be aligned once again so that my promise can live. Maybe you're here and you're away from God. Maybe you used to experience the promises of God. You lived a life in accordance with the Word. Maybe you feel like you're far. Can I tell you? All it takes is creating a place.
Yes. Jesus.
Promisor will make good on his promise. The promisor will make good on his promise. If you just provide the place. So we can, from this Shunammite mother on this Mother Day, recognize if you and I but create the place, the promise of the promisor will come. He will fill you. He will thrill you all over this house. I will lift our hands. So in a few moments, we're going to take a break, but I want us to respond to the word right now. As they begin to sing and play, you need to know these altars are open. You can find a place of repentance here this morning. You can come. You can find from the wisdom of this Shunammite woman.
Your
I provide the place
Jesus.
For the promise to once again be fulfilled in my life.
In His wonderful face.
And the things of this earth will grow strange.
Provide the place.
And the things
of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Just a few minutes, our classes will be returning. Teachers have made me aware that they have crafts that they have been working on this morning to give to the mothers in the house. And so we're going to take a short break. And obviously, it's always right and proper to come and pray between services, if you will, of these sessions. But here in just a few moments, our classes are going to return. And then at 11 o'clock, begin our second session, if you will, praise and worship. And then a special time of celebrating our mothers. God bless you. Oh.
Alex? Alex? Turn that up a little. Turn it up a little. Start it over. Start the song over.
me now.
Gathered in your name, calling out to you.